Welcome to the Celebration Church podcast. You're about to hear a message from the series Little Giants. In this series, you'll discover different things that may seem small, but in reality make a big impact in our lives. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Have you ever, I just want to be honest about something that I've done, and I'll ask you if you've done this as well. Have you ever said something in a moment, and the moment you started saying it, you were like, oh no. Right? You know what I'm talking about? You're like, the moment you started saying it, you're like, mouth. Wait, stop, words, come back. Oh my gosh, like somebody catches you off guard. This week I was helping somebody push his car and because it was dead on the road and he was blocking the intersection and I was like, there's nothing I can do. I have to go be a good Samaritan. So I'm helping him push his car out of the way, and as we're pushing it, he's like, hey, can you give me a ride home too? And I'm like, sure. You know, you get put on the spot, you're like, oh my gosh, is this guy a murderer? My mom told me never to take anybody in my car, and this guy is for sure going to stab me. And anyways, your mind goes places. But, you know, your mouth gets you in trouble sometimes. You're like, sure, I'll help you move. Oh my gosh, what was I thinking? Or sure, your parents can stay here over the Christmas break. You know what I'm talking about? But in Proverbs 18:21, it's a pretty famous scripture about our mouths, about what our words can do. And it says, the tongue can bring death or life, and those who love to talk will reap the consequences. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. You know, way too often I find my words bringing unexpected death. Right? Like you say something and you're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I said that. And oh, why did I do that? When my wife and I, my lovely wife and I were still dating, we went to the old spaghetti factory. Anybody love the old spaghetti factory? I mean, you can wear what you want. It's comfortable. You know, when you're there, you feel like your family, even though that's another restaurant slogan. But we're at the old spaghetti factory and what I love about the old spaghetti factory, they bring you this nice warm loaf of bread and these nice fancy butters. And you know what I'm talking about. And you sit there, and so this bread comes. My wife and I are sitting there. And at the time, we were just dating. We were not married. We're dating, and I'm like, okay, I think things are going well. And they bring us this bread, and I think, I'm like, oh, I'm so smart. What I'm going to do is I'm going to take the end cap of the bread, you know, the bad one with all the crusty stuff, like the bad part of the bread, right? I take that, I'm going to take that piece first so that at the end, she will take that last piece, right? So I'm gonna pay it forward. I'm gonna do it first. She'll take the bad piece at the end. It's gonna be a beautiful moment where she offers me the nice piece of bread with that soft on both sides, and it's gonna be so romantic in West Edmonton Mall in this old spaghetti factory. And so I take the bad piece, and we're just, you know, having a great time making our way through this loaf of bread together, just gazing into each other's eyes, falling deeper and deeper in love as we intake the gluten. And we get down, and there's this moment where there's the other end cap of the bread, and then there's the nice soft piece, and I'm just sitting there waiting for her to give me that nice piece of bread and just fall in love together. And we're sitting there, and it's taking a while. I'm like, man, I really want to get my bread on, but I got to be a gentleman. I got to let her do the thing. And you know, I went 90. She's got to go the last 10. And you know, so we're working our way through that bread, and she goes, and she reaches her hand out, and she grabs the soft piece on both sides, butters it, and eats it for herself. And in this moment, I'm like, oh, Lord, what is happening? And my mouth just kind of runs off on me, and I say to her, you know, you always leave me with the bad ends of the bread. How many people know that when you start a sentence with you always, it's about to go down? And I said, you always leave me with the bad ends of the bread. And in a moment, it was like a switch. My wife just starts bawling her eyes out in old spaghetti factory. In that moment, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm the biggest idiot. She's leaving me today. And I'm like, what is happening? What's going on? The waiter sees her crying. Like, she's like really crying. And I'm like, I'm freaking out. I'm turning red. I'm like, what have I done? And the waiter comes over and he's like, ma'am, is there anything I can do to help you? And he's kind of looking at me like, what have you done? And she's like, got her head down. She's like, no, it's fine. And I'm sitting there like freaking out, and I'm just like, you know, just get us some more bread, man. We just need more bread on this table right now. We need to fix this situation. But way too often, I find my words bringing unexpected death. And our mouths can get us into trouble, can't they? See, what if little choices in our words could make a giant difference in our world? What if little choices in our words could make a giant impact on our world? And look what Jesus did in John chapter 11. These little words that made a giant impact. There's this guy named Lazarus and he's dead and his sisters are freaking out. They're like, Jesus, if you were here, he would have lived. What's happening? Why is this? And they're kind of doubting Jesus. And Jesus said this, did I not tell you that if you believe in me, if you believe, you will see the glory of God. And so they took the stone away and then Jesus looked up at the Father and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. And when Jesus said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. And this guy had been dead for 4 days. He's in this grave and Jesus says, come out of it. And the dead man came out, his hands and his feet were wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. And Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. So in a moment, this person who'd been dead for 4 days, life came in two words from Jesus. He says, come out, and Jesus speaks life to death. And I believe that Jesus wants to speak life into our lives today. And I believe that as people who follow Jesus and love Jesus, that our words can bring life to dead situations. See, the little, and here's the thing. The Holy Spirit wants to fill us up. He wants to give us power. And that's what happened with Jesus. He knew in his heart what God could do through him. And so the little that was in his heart, then he spoke faith in his mouth, and this man was brought to life. Because the little in my heart becomes giant through my mouth. The little in my heart becomes giant through my mouth. What is coming out of your mouth is a reflection of what you've allowed into your heart. Yeah. See, Jesus knew who his father was. Jesus knew what his father could do. And that little bit in his heart was able to raise this man to life. So what's in your heart? What's in your heart today? In Luke 6, 45, it says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. What little things have gotten into your heart that are making a giant impact on how you speak? You know, every day we have the opportunity. Just as I was writing this sermon, I was realizing that I had these opportunities every day. Every day we have the opportunity to be offended, to allow offense to get into our hearts. Every day we have the opportunity to allow anger to get in our hearts. I don't know about you, but it happens to me. Every day I have that opportunity to allow anger in. Every day we have the opportunity to allow jealousy to get into our hearts. Every day we have the opportunity to allow pettiness to get into our hearts. Every day we have the opportunity to allow regret to get into our hearts. These little things get in our heart and then our mouth starts making a mess. And by the way, when I say mouth this morning, I also mean your fingers, right? Because you can talk with your fingers nowadays. I'm not talking just about sign language. I'm talking about your texting. I'm talking about what you're writing online, right? Our fingers can make just as much of a mess as our mouth can. And what happens is it's like a little mouse that sneaks into your house and just is like chewing away at stuff. You know what I'm talking about? Anybody ever had a mouse in their house? I have. And they're just, right? They're going around chewing at stuff, making a mess. In Galatians 5, 13 to 15, it says this. It's absolutely clear that God has called you to a free life. That's good. God's called you to a free life. Man, that's good news this morning in church. I don't know about you, but I feel alive when I read that. Yeah. But just make sure that you don't use this freedom as an excuse to do whatever you want to do and destroy your freedom. I don't know about you, but I felt that I can destroy my freedom in life. Rather, use your freedom to serve one another in love. That's how freedom grows. For everything we know about God's word is summed up in a single sentence. Come on, you know it. Love others as you love yourself. That's an act of true freedom. And if you bite and ravage each other, watch out. In no time at all, you will be annihilating each other. And where will your precious freedom be then? In no time at all, you could be annihilating each other, and where could your precious freedom be then? See, if my heart's not right, I'm not free. If my heart's not right, then my mouth kind of runs off on me, right? When my heart's not right, what happens? When our heart isn't right, then we start to criticize, don't we? Right? We get a little thing in our heart about somebody, and then we start to criticize what they're doing. I don't know about you, but this has happened to me before. Like, you start to criticize. Like, you look on Facebook, you're like, oh, they're on vacation? Well, I know they're in debt, right? Like, what are they doing? Or have you ever had, you start to criticize people. You get stuff in your heart. Do you know somebody in your life? And this might be you. Maybe if you don't know somebody, this might be you. I don't know. But you know somebody in your life that seems to be able to do somebody else's job way better than they ever could, right? That's how they talk. Like, you go to a restaurant, you're like, well, if it was me, this is how I would do, right? They start to criticize people. Like, they know how to do someone else's job better for them. Why? They get little things in their heart, right? Pride sneaks into our heart. And we're like, oh, I could do that better. They start to criticize. Or somebody who likes to criticize other people's parenting, right? They get little things in their heart. Like, the way I do it is holier than thou. You have to understand. So what happens? They start to criticize other people's parenting skills because they get little things in their heart. But criticism is never helpful. We got to stop ourselves and say, is this helpful? Or do I have something in my heart that's causing me to criticize these people? And when my heart's not right, I get negative. Negative people are exhausting. Even when I'm negative, it's exhausting. You ever find yourself spouting off some negativity, and at the end you're like, you know? But we have to stop ourselves and choose to bring positivity to things, because negativity's never got anybody anywhere. Or here's a big one. When my heart's not right, I start to compare myself. When your heart's not right, you start to compare yourself. You open up Facebook or Instagram and you say, how come I wasn't invited to that? I introduced those people to each other. I should be hanging with them right now. Or how come they got that? Or how come they were invited to this? And you start to get this comparison into your heart, and it starts to steal joy about your life. See, this happened to me just last week, okay? I'm just gonna be real with you this morning, because like I said last week, sometimes this is a confessional for me. We're gonna flip it, all right? So here's what happened. I go on Instagram, I'm writing my sermon, things are going pretty well, and I'm just like, oh man, I'm just gonna take a mental break. I'm gonna go on Instagram for a second. And then up on Instagram, up pops a pastor. This happens to pastors, I'll just say, comparison happens to pastors all the time. Here's why. Because we all day long, we have other people doing their jobs as well, and we get to see the best part of their sermon on Instagram, right? We get to see the 30 seconds of their sermon that was perfect, and we start comparing ourselves, and because pastors are some of the most insecure people in the world. I'll just let you know that. But but this is what happened to me. I open up, I'm working on my sermon, I'll open up my Instagram, and there I see Pastor Stephen Furtick. And oh man, that guy, he can preach. I don't know if you know who he is, but I turn it on, I'm like, oh my Lord, I'm getting saved in this coffee shop right now watching this. But then I start to compare myself, right? And then I start to go, how come I have to write a message when people could just go online and watch this? This is so good. This is amazing. Why do I have to? Then people are going to compare me to him. And why do I have to do this? And I watch it and I'm like, Lord, don't make me do this any longer. My joy starts to, I start to get robbed of my joy. I'm like, Lord, I am a toad compared to this man. Why? And what happened is, what God was trying to bless me with a word, right? I could have been blessed with a word in that moment, but instead I started comparing myself and it started to steal my joy. And I think that happens to so many of us. And when I was done having my little pity party in the coffee shop, I was like, oh yeah, I have some notes on my phone from Stephen Furtick on how to preach. I went and looked at those notes and he started to bless me again. Amen. But that's what happens, man. We have these awesome people in our lives that should be blessing us, but sometimes they rob us of our joy because of our insecurity and because what we allow in our heart. And so what should have brought life in a moment started to bring death. But if other people have what you want, you need to celebrate them. If other people have something in your life, instead of comparing yourself, instead of trying to achieve what they're trying to achieve, why don't you just celebrate them? Why don't you just celebrate what they have? And for some of us, I think there's sometimes, and I'm not talking about other pastors right now, but I think there's sometimes where we just need to unfollow people. Because unfollowing can be freeing. And Jesus wants freedom in your life. And if you can't help but compare yourself to that person, you need to unfollow them. Because I think that so often we see celebrities' lives or we see these different people's lives. We compare ourselves and it brings unhappiness. We start to, you know, we're not content with what we have anymore, but Jesus is trying to bring freedom and joy to our lives. And then if we can't, man, if we can't see anything nice, don't see anything at all. You know what I'm talking about? You just might need to unfollow somebody to get some freedom. And it has nothing to do with them and everything to do with you. That if you can't help but compare yourself, you just need to block it out for a season. And then when you start to compare, just stop it and replace it with celebration. Yeah. Celebrate what other people have. Yeah. You know, when my heart's not right, I start to complain. How much better would our lives be if we just didn't complain? I want to challenge you this week. This is my challenge for myself this week. I will complain about nothing. I'm just going to decide this week that I'm going to complain about nothing. Please join me in that challenge. Imagine how much better our lives would be if we just decided that no matter what happens, I'm not going to complain. And here's one I want to sit on for a couple minutes here, is that when my heart isn't right, then I gossip. When my heart's not right, I start to gossip. People have all kinds of excuses to gossip, and they say, well, that's not gossip or that's not gossip, so let's just clear the air this morning and let's read the definition of gossip together. Gossip is an exaggeration or fabrication of a story regarding somebody other than the talebearer in the absence of this person who's being discussed, for the malicious purpose of demeaning, slandering, or tarnishing this person's reputation. Wow. So gossip defames a person's character. And it starts with little things in our heart that we see in people. Little things, and then we decide that we're gonna start talking. We decide that we're going to start saying things about them. And we have this little thing in our heart that we should have cleared up. We should have never allowed. We should have brought to the Lord. But instead, we're bringing it to other people. And here's what Proverbs 10:19 says. Too much talk leads to sin. It just says too much talk in general. It's just like, stop talking. Be sensible and keep your mouth shut. That's what the second line says. Be sensible and keep your mouth shut. I'm like, thank you from the word of the Lord. Proverbs 20:19 says this. A gossip betrays a confidence, so avoid anyone who talks too much. Man, it goes to say, just avoid those people who talk too much. Here's what happens. When you start gossiping about people, you start to become paranoid that other people are gossiping about you. I know that so well because I've done it in my life. And I think that we need to realize that people are talking about us a lot less than we think they are. I think that would bring us joy if we would just realize, God, I need to get this right in my heart, that I'm not going to gossip about other people. It starts to set you free. Yeah. Here's what Proverbs 18:8 says. Listening to gossip is like eating cheap candy. Do you really want that junk in your belly? My two-year-old had a birthday this week. I ate a lot of cheap candy. I'll tell you what, I don't want that junk in my belly no more. You know what I'm talking about? When you go way too hard on Halloween, you start to feel sick, right? You start to feel weighed down. You young people, it's coming. It'll happen one day. You can eat as much as you want right now, but it'll happen to you like it did to me. But what happens is we start to get that junk in our belly. And God doesn't want that. He wants us free from it. But what's inside of you will come out of your mouth. And also watch for secondhand smoke. Because just because you're not gossiping, it doesn't mean that your heart isn't right. Like, we can just stop the gossip and still allow ourselves to be a person that is a hearer of gossip. And what happens is the secondhand smoke starts doing just as much damage as if we were taking part in the gossip. Well, what we can do is shut it down. Don't be a person who is a hearer of gossip. You know, I said this in first service, and I think it was anointed, so I'm going to say it in second. But, you know, there's like the devil's lettuce out there. You know what the devil's lettuce is? Have you heard that? Anyways, there's this, they use this term called the devil's lettuce. I think that gossip is the devil's letters. Okay? Yeah, you get it? You get it? I like it. But watch yourself that you don't allow the devil's letters in your life. The government might have made it legal for you to have the devil's lettuce, but don't let the devil's letters get into your world. Anyways, this is exactly what happened at first. They went, oh, what is wrong with this? Yeah, all right. Don't allow the devil's letters in your mouth. It says in Proverbs that those who love to talk will reap the consequences. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. And when we gossip, we end up having friends who don't trust us. When we gossip, people distance themselves from us. But we just needed to keep our hearts right, and we would have got our mouth right. So guard your heart, because God wants you to have a free, amazing life of all this gossip, of all this nastiness. God wants you to be free of it. So guard your heart so that you talk right. I also believe that you can change the way you feel by changing the way you speak. So this is what gossip attempts to do, right? When we talk about what someone's doing wrong, it's an attempt to make ourselves feel better about the insecurities we have on the inside of us. And I believe that when you start to speak better, you'll start to feel better. In Ephesians 4:29, it says, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what's helpful for building others up according to their needs, so that it may benefit those who listen. So we gotta ask ourselves this morning, do my words benefit me? Because when we speak unwholesome, we feel unwholesome. Have you ever noticed that? This is why it's so important to get good people in your life that speak life into your world. And I don't know about you, but I love all the Connect group leaders that we have in our church. But what are they doing? They're building community, right? To have better people in your life. Let's give it up for those Connect group leaders. Anyone who leads or has led a Connect group, man, this whole church is so thankful for you. And you know, you might never get acknowledged on stage, but your hard work is so worth it. Because I've seen what Connect groups can do in people's lives. I've seen what a Connect group can do in my life. That when you start to feel lonely, or when you start to feel like you're not getting enough, or when you start to feel far from God, you have people around you that build your faith. People around you that are there for you when you're going through tough stuff. And there is some incredible Connect group leaders in our church. And this is why we do this expo, is because you need to get to know them. Because man, there's some people in our church that could change your life more than any message ever could. Well, you gotta have an opportunity to get to know them. So I was trying to preach, but I just took a moment to say that. Anyways, we do a lot of different things. We do a lot of different things to make ourselves feel better, to try and attempt to make ourselves feel better. But I believe if we just started speaking better, it would stir up something in our soul. So instead of criticism, negativity, comparison, complaining, lying, and gossip, we could replace that with optimism, with celebration, with appreciation, with forgiveness, with faith. And if we don't feel it, then we need to speak it. And so many people are like, well, they don't deserve it, or I need to feel better first, and then I'll start speaking that way. But what happens is when you start to speak faith to things, it pulls you out of the funk that you're in, and you start to feel better. See, optimism creates opportunity. And sometimes people are like, well, I gotta be real, okay? I can't be fake. I can't just say something I'm not feeling. But optimism, we're not being fake. What we're doing is we're cultivating what the Holy Spirit wants to do in us. We're speaking faith to what the Holy Spirit wants to do in us. And opportunity, and optimism will bring opportunity, because a weight will be lifted off of our shoulders. When we start to speak faith, when we start to believe in our hearts that even though I have those little things, even though my situation looks this way, I'm gonna speak faith to it anyway. I'm gonna speak goodness into it anyway. I'm gonna believe that God can do it anyway. Man, it'll create an opportunity for yourself, and you will start to feel better if you would just start to speak better. I also believe that when we read the Bible, when we go into prayer, when we seek God, we're filling ourselves up. When we speak better, when we get our hearts right, we're filling ourselves up. And God wants to fill us up. And when he does, man, we can start to pour out into the people around us. See, because we're pouring out into those people anyway, but it depends what you're going to pour into them, right? So if it's negativity in your heart, right? If it's all this bad stuff that you get in your heart, you'll start to get it. It'll start to stir itself up. It'll start to come out of your lips, and you'll start to pour that into the people around you. You'll start to pour that into your family. You'll start to pour that into your coworkers. But God wants to fill us up of his word that we can pour that into other people and we can make a difference in the world around us. And God can use us in our workplace, because it's one thing to come in here and get all hype and feel great, but tomorrow we're going to a job. Tomorrow we're going to a job with greedy people in it. Tomorrow we're going to a job with probably a bunch of angry customers. I don't know about you. I worked in customer service for a while. People are angry out there, you know? Like, we're going into the world and God's like, I can make your world a better place. And when our hearts are full, we can make an impact. Look what God says about you. We need to fill ourselves up with what God says about you. It says that we're predestined for adoption, that we are his children, that we're a brand new creation. He knows the numbers of hairs on our head. Even if it's zero, he still knows those numbers, you know? I feel like there's a lot of bald jokes that happen on this stage between everyone. Anyways, he says that he knit you together in your mother's womb. We can speak these words into ourselves and remember these things. We can make our world a better place. But what we need to remember is, since the very beginning of time, Satan has wanted to replace, and he has replaced truth with a lie. So that's what he did. He came to Adam and Eve and he replaced truth that God gave them with a lie. That still happens to us today. That still happens to us today, but we need to remember the word of God for our lives. And when we do that, we're encouraged and people can be encouraged. And so I encourage you in this, that when you see potential in someone, don't just see it, speak it. Yeah. Don't just see potential, speak potential. Remember parent-teacher interviews? Some people still go to them with their kids. Maybe some of you have had a parent-teacher interview lately. I had some rough parent-teacher interviews. It was not good for me. I did not enjoy parent-teacher interviews. School was very traumatic for me. Anyways, but I remember going into those parent-teacher interviews, and, you know, the semester would go along, and, man, I'd feel like that teacher hated me. I would feel like that teacher's always correcting me. All I ever heard was correction, correction, correction. So what I'd got in my heart was, you're a mess up. You're never going to, you know, amount to anything. Like, you're a problem in my class. So that's all I'm ever getting into my heart. And then we go into this parent-teacher interview night, and I'd be like, oh, my gosh. My parents are going to kill me after this. And we'd sit there, and my parents would sit, and, you know, you sit off to the side. You kind of, like, kick your chair back because you're like, I'm too cool for this. And I remember just sitting there kind of, like, with my head down and kind of just slouched like this. And the teacher's talking to my parents and telling them all this stuff, and I'm getting the eyes like, come on, man. Like, even when I homeschooled, this would happen. But I sit there and you know, I kind of hear this negative stuff, and my head would kind of be down. And then at the end of hearing, you know, all the stuff I'd done wrong, kind of laughing to myself sometimes, and my dad kind of sitting there like, oh, my God, yeah, it sounds like him. At the end of it, the teacher would start to say some positive things. Like, I see so much potential in him. And, you know, he could be doing so much more. And I see that, you know, he's a leader in the class. And they'd start to say these positive things to my parents about me. And this happened in multiple interviews, and I kind of remember it back. I remember them starting to speak all this good stuff over my life to my parents, but that was the first time I'd ever heard it. And it was in the teacher's heart, but they never spoke it to me. All I ever heard was correction. And I think that in our worlds, we could make it a better place if we would just decide that when we see potential, we would speak it into people's lives. that as we go into work this week, let's speak potential when we see it in people. You know, somebody, you never know what people are going through in your office, but what if you saw, if they saw what you saw, if they saw what God sees, right? You can see that because you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, so you can go to work tomorrow and see somebody and speak potential into their life and change the direction of where their life is headed. In 2 Corinthians 5:20, it says that we, therefore, we're Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. As though God were making his appeal through us. See, we can't rely on people to be our source, but because we have the Holy Spirit in our hearts, we can be a source for people. And when we get our hearts right, we get our mouth right, and we make a difference in the world around us. We can go ahead and stand right now as we begin to close this service. But, you know, the story from Luke 11, there's a dead man, and Jesus goes in and speaks life into him. And the direction that Lazarus was headed changed in a moment because of the words of Jesus. I believe there's people in your life and mine that their direction could change in a moment because of the words that we speak over them. So whose life might need a change of direction in your world? Maybe you're here today and you feel like your life needs a change of direction. I want to tell you that the freedom that God has for you was spoke in three words: it is finished. That Jesus paid it all on the cross for you, and he's been with you this entire time, loving you so much, just waiting for you to turn to him. And it's those words that we need to remember daily, that we don't have to carry the weight of our sin. We don't have to carry the shame that we have in our hearts. And this is not, it is not about achieving anything. It's about receiving what Jesus did for us. You might be here today, and today you need, you know that you need to receive what Jesus did for you. In a moment, we're gonna pray a prayer before we close this service. And you can pray it today and receive the freedom that Jesus has for you. You can pray it today and you can have a shift of your heart that could change everything from you going forward. So I'm gonna just ask that, even if you're not gonna pray this prayer with me, that if everyone could just close their eyes and bow their heads, just to respect those around you, even if you're not praying this prayer with me. But I know that there's people in this room that need to pray this prayer today. There's people in this room that you know that God's been with you this whole time, or maybe you felt distant from him this whole time and you've had a darkness in your life that you need to change, or you've been going down life and things haven't been working out your way, and it's time to let them work out Jesus's way. It's time to let God's plan work in your life, and you wanna pray this prayer today to change everything in this moment. If you wanna pray that prayer with me, I'm gonna count to three. And at the end of that count of three, I'm gonna ask you to shoot up your hand so I know who I'm praying with this morning. We're gonna boldly make this decision together. This little decision that's gonna have a giant impact on your world when you start to live for Jesus. On the count of three, one, two, three. Come on, shoot up your hand right now so I know who I'm praying with. Awesome, there is hands all over this room. You're making the best decision that you could ever make in your entire life. Just keep that hand up with me right now, and I would ask the entire congregation to repeat after me in agreement with everybody making the best decision they ever could right now. Let's do this together. Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for loving me, for always being with me. Today I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. From now on, I live for you. In Jesus' name. Come on, let's say amen together this morning. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from our series, Little Giants. If you'd like to know more about Celebration Church or like to partner with us financially, visit our website at celebrationedmonton.com. Be sure to follow us on Instagram at CelebrationEDM and Facebook at Celebration Church. Come back next week to hear another great message.